Wells, great job with the poison on this one, because there's no better guest to bring on with poison than Stephen Hargis. Stephen Hargis has listened to his share of poison.
I have definitely dated a few girls with big hair in the 80s and cruised around the back roads of Marion County listening to a little poison. Certainly have.
All right, it's always great to have Stephen in. Of course, the Times Free Press sports editor throwing his weight around this week. You got 5-0 versus 5-0, so guess who's covering it?
Yeah, it's good to get to decide who goes where sometimes. So that's one of the ones definitely looked at, you know, back at the start of the season, Red Bank and South Pitt, and kind of knew this one would probably shake out the way it has, where they would be undefeated coming into this one. A lot of hype around it, and should be a lot of fun because it's two really good teams.
And, of course, Red Bank with a state championship, South Pittsburgh with lots of state championships. It's very unique. Do you know when this kind of came about, when this matchup was lined up? How many years ago? Is this in years or months?
It's been months, actually. And it's funny because I spoke to Chris Brown, the Red Bank coach, this week just to kind of find out about it. And they had an opening – they had a game scheduled and had a team that kind of – withdrew from the schedule, you know, said they were going to go play somebody else before they signed the contract. So Chris had an opening. He started looking, you know, on some coaches' sites to see who else had an opening that matched that week, and he saw that it was South Pitt, and he called the South Pitt coaches and said, hey, you know, this could be really good for both teams. It won't affect the playoffs, but we'll get to test each other. What do you think? And South Pitt jumped on it and said, yeah, let's make it a home-and-home, and let's do it. So, you know, it's only been probably – you know, eight or so months ago that it came about, just kind of by chance.
And so next year these two teams will play in South Pitt?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Good times. All right, Stephen, it's one of those unique deals where, I mean, you hate to be mean, but South Pittsburgh's easiest games are going to be within their own district. I mean, South Pittsburgh has just dominated single A for a long, long time. I mean, and this is nothing against Lookout Valley, but that was a 69-6 win. You think about Whitwell's having a down year after the magical run they had, Sail Creek, Copper Basin. I mean, these are games that South Pittsburgh's going to mercy rule. And so they have to not only, you know, look for outside foes, but all, you know, kind of move up a classification or two.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, through the years, if you're a program like they are that wants to play for, you know, deep into the playoffs and contend for state championships, they know that you're not going to get better playing, you know, other 1A schools that aren't, you know, that good. So looking down the road, one of the things, you know, in talking to Vic Grider this week that he liked about playing Red Bank and through the years being willing to play the bigger schools is he'll take a loss to a bigger school if it makes them better for the playoffs. And he's pointing at Greenback, who's been kind of, you know, the king of 1A for the last handful of years, and they are predominantly a passing team this year. And he knew that Red Bank likes to throw the ball, and he said, we can get tested in a way that we're not going to get tested by anybody else on our schedule, you know, with Maddox Wilkie being among the area leaders and state leaders already with over 1,000 yards passing. They're going to get tested in their secondary and kind of see where they need to get better going into the playoffs, because, you know, it's almost a certainty that they expect to run into Greenback in the semifinals, and they want to be prepared for a passing team, and that this is, you know, a great way to do that.
And, Stephen, I guess this is where these classifications just seem to change all the time. I mean, when Red Bank won the state, that was like 5A, right? And so I'm thinking when you see this matchup, you're like, whoa, South Pitt is scheduling way up, but sometimes you just have to realize that Red Bank's 3A now? I mean, a very good program still, but in 3A and not 5A.
Yeah, yeah. In 2000, when they won the title, they were 5A, and then since then they've kind of they've gone down. Spent some time in 4A. You know, student population went down a little further. They moved down to 3A. Still, obviously, a very good program, and one that their schedule attests. You know, they've already beaten Ottawa, which is 6A. Sunny Daisy is a 5A school, and East Hamilton's 4A. So, you know, classifications don't always matter when you've got a lot of talent like Red Bank does. They've proven they can beat anybody in you know, the largest classification in the state this year because they're a really good team. And, you know, similarly, what you're talking about with the classifications with South Pitt, I mean, this is you and I were talking about it earlier. You know, they have for years scheduled up. I think they played Huntland last week. That's the first time they've played a 1A team outside of their district or region since 2006. So normally the four or five games that they have within their region are the only 1A teams they'll play until the playoffs. Everybody else they play, you know, they've got a history. They played Central and Hickson, which are, you know, 4A type teams. They've played Tyner a couple of times. You know, they've scheduled up with the 2, 3, and 4A teams before. And Red Bank doesn't mind scheduling up either because, you know, all it's going to do is make you better for the playoffs, and that's exactly what both these teams expect to do is make a deep run in the playoffs.
Now, I know the Pirates, the team they want to beat most, wears purple, but, I mean, is this a win tonight at Red Bank? Would this be like Boise State opening this season, winning at FSU? Would it be like UCF knocking off Auburn in the Peach Bowl a couple of years ago? Would it be like a group of five taking down a Power Five?
Similar, yeah. I think you could say that just because Red Bank is such an established program, especially in our area. You know, they are so respected and for years and years have always been a perennial playoff team and one that, you know, is kind of one of the four or five teams that Chattanooga is known for. You know, they've produced a lot of college talent, so it's one of those known schools. And I think that, you know, knowing Vic Grider as well as I do, he cherishes going into to play a Tyner when they were up and rolling and went in there and won, you know, 2 years in a row. And now if they were to somehow win this game tonight, I think that would, you know, he would definitely, you know, take a lot of pride in that. And so would the community. You know, and I know the whole community this week just watching the Facebook posts and things like that, you know, as far as people, you know, taking the day off from work or leaving work early or whatever, they want to be over there early and kind of, you know, it's like Vic said yesterday, a lot of people in Chattanooga have heard of South Pitt, but they've never really seen what the program is about. And he and those kids take a lot of pride in going into a game like this and kind of showing, you know, we're not just your typical 1A program. We can play, you know, eye to eye with just about anybody.
Steven, my man, I got two questions. One is in the here and now. I'll give you this other one and let you give it a shot to think about it. We were talking earlier about biggest one-hit wonders in sports. If I ask you for a local high school one-hit wonder, I'd be curious what your answer was since you have been around it for a long, long time. But think on that for a second because I've got to ask you about Jahmyr Gibbs. And as somebody who's now no longer in the sports department, as somebody who's a fringe local high school sports fan, I tear through my newspaper on Saturday morning to see what he has done the night before. It is that type of – at this pace, if he gets two games into the postseason, he's going to score 66 touchdowns in a season.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? And you and I are on the same thought process there. That's the first thing I do. Typically, if I get home from a game at night, I'll go ahead and look in the system and just see the box score for Dalton and see, okay, did he run for 400? Did he get six touchdowns? I mean, you know, that kind of stuff because it's unreal the numbers he's putting up. You know, I've already heard a lot of people saying, you know, sure, this kid's not going to still go to Georgia Tech. They
right.
think he's much better than that. I know Texas A&M has come in, and if not offered, is really interested in him and some other SEC schools. But, man, he is. Lindsey Young had told me before the season, he was like, you know, check out some highlights of this kid, some things, you know, like scrimmages and stuff that are on the huddle. And he's added about 12 or 15 pounds, and just look at it. And you watch him, and you're like, whoa. You know, you didn't realize he would do this, but you could definitely see a lot of talent in Jahmyr Gibbs, and then he's going out there and showing the whole state and the whole, you know, the whole our whole region, the whole state of Georgia. He's really, really special. Lindsey called it. I'll give him credit before the season started. He said, "I think he'll be by the end of the year, he'll be the best back in 6A," and he's definitely on that track. And when you talk about one hit wonders, if you mean like a player,
yes,
I would
sir.
Put, I mean, just more recently, I'd put Lee Witherspoon from North Jackson up there from last year.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a kid who nobody knew anything about. He had never played running back in his life. He was a track kid from Birmingham whose dad got a job in Jackson County, as a lot of really good football players in the state of Alabama tend to do when they need to find somewhere to go. They find him a job in Jackson County, and they play for the Chiefs. And Lee last year, you know, rewrote state records. I think he wound up with like 58 or 60 touchdowns himself, and that was the first year he'd ever played running back. He was a receiver and a DB at whatever school he was in Birmingham before. They saw him run track, and Mark Rose said, we're going to hand you the ball about 30 times a game and see what you do. And, you know, he turned that into a scholarship to Mississippi State. And I watched a Miss State game a week or so ago, and Lee Witherspoon's getting some carries for him.
All right, Stephen, is there any truth that after tonight's game, and it should be a good one between South Pitt and Red Bank, after the game's over, you will make the short trip from Red Bank to Baylor just to beat the traffic for next week's Baylor-McCalla game?
I'm going to go ahead and set up a tent and just camp out right there across from the football field, because that thing, man, I mean, Red Bank's got really only one main entrance in and out, but Baylor's much worse than that. I can't imagine what traffic's going to be like next week for that thing. If McCauley does what they're supposed to tonight down at West Forsyth and wins that game, and both those teams come in next week undefeated, Dave, you may know off the top of your head, David, I'll have to look and see the last time Baylor and McCauley met this far into a season when they're both undefeated. And you could have McCauley's number one, Baylor's number three. I mean, next week could be one versus two, depending on what happens tonight with some other games. But you could have one versus two undefeated teams. You know, already it was going to be packed no matter what. Yeah, I just can't imagine what those tickets are going to go for, because there's a very limited number of those things.
Yeah, but they're not going to be able to afford them over there.
Yeah, that's the bad thing. I do feel bad for them. I mean, there's certainly a shortage of funds on the Baylor campus.
All right, if you want to follow Baylor-McCalla next week, or if you want to follow South Pittsburgh Red Bank tonight, Stephen Hargis does a great job at his games every Friday night, tweeting out the scores, who's doing what. His Twitter is at Stephen, that's with a PH, at Stephen Hargis, H-A-R-G-I-S. And you want to follow him for breaking news around here, period, because a half hour ago he put out on Twitter that East Hamilton rising senior guard Madison Hayes, who just cleaned house at the Best of Preps banquet earlier this year, Madison Hayes has committed to the SEC powerhouse that is Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think we can go ahead and tell the engravers to start putting their name on some awards for next year's Best of Preps too. I don't expect her to have much of a dip, but that, I mean, that's huge. She had, you know, I think pretty much every SEC program had offered her. It was just kind of came down to which one she felt the most at home for. When I hang up with you guys, I've got to call her mom and get in touch with Greta so I can get Madison's cell number and do a quick interview and before my Red Bank game tonight. But I mean, she is the real deal. You know, Ryan Howard was awfully special at Bradley Central, and Madison, if you've not seen her, Madison Hayes is definitely in that mode. I mean, she could go the same thing Ryan's done at Kentucky. Madison could go in and become like an SEC Freshman of the Year type scorer at Miss State, depending on what else they've got around her.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Howard, SEC Freshman of the Year. Madison Hayes, the sky's the limit. So yeah, it's neat to see Chattanooga with this 1-2 punch in women's hoops so close together. Well, Stephen, safe travels. Enjoy the game tonight. Beat the traffic. Good luck on that. And thanks for all that you do. And thanks for joining us as always here on Press Row.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. The legendary Stephen Hargis on his way to a 5-0 versus 5-0 showdown. South Pittsburgh at Red Bank. Looking forward to that one. 648-1051 is the number. We'll revisit the Papa John's poll question when we come back. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1.
The Zone.